We're going to be using the Bible. We are going to be using the Bible quite extensively this morning because we're going to be dealing with a very difficult subject. It is a subject that I take no personal delight in preaching about. But you see, I have no option. When God calls a man to preach, He calls him to preach the whole counsel of God. The Apostle Paul said in the book of Acts, I have not shunned to declare unto you the whole counsel of God. Now, if we preach week after week after week after week on just the fact that God is love and God takes care of His people, that's true, but that's not the whole counsel of God. If we were to preach every Sunday on the second coming of Christ, which I love dearly with all of my heart in studying and in preaching, if that's all we preached on, that would not be the whole counsel of God. And in case we have a Calvinist present with us today, I don't know about you, I'm one. If that's all we spoke of in this church, the doctrines of grace, then that's true and it's needed to be preached. That's not the whole counsel of God. The whole counsel of God is this book, the Word of God, the Bible. And never be afraid of what you read and find in this book. This Bible is not your enemy. This Bible is your truth. And it'll steer you in the way you should go and the truth that you should know. So we have a task that's bigger than this vessel is able to carry today. And yet I feel compelled. Several weeks ago, God began to deal with my heart about this message. And I just kept waiting and waiting and saying, Lord, maybe not. And yet I could not get away from it. So we want to do that this morning. If you have your Bibles, I want you to turn to Matthew, please. Matthew chapter number 7. And as I read audibly for your hearing, I want you to follow along in your scripture and pay attention and listen carefully to the words of God's blessed book. Matthew chapter number 7, verses 13 through 14. Enter ye in at the strait gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. Because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. And in Psalm number 9, verse 17, and we want to use that for a text today. Psalm number 9, verse 17, and while you're turning, it's a short verse, very meaningful, very powerful. There are going to be several passages that I'm going to ask you to turn with me because I want you to see it. I want you not only to hear the Word of God this morning with your ears, I want you to see the Word of God with your eyes. Think about these things. In Psalm 9:17, the Scripture says, the wicked shall be turned into hell, and all nations that forget God. Now, I'm aware in the Matthew reference, chapter number 7, that verse 1 begins with these words, judge not. Judge not that you be not judged. And that injunction has to do with finding fault with a brother when you have a worse fault than he does. It's going around trying to pick out the splinters in your brother's eye when you got a lumber yard in yours. That's what that begins with in chapter number 7. However, in verse 13, that has to do with God condemning Christ rejecting sinners. God, who is the righteous judge, condemning Christ rejecting sinners. Matthew sets forth two great truths here. Number one, there is a road that leads to heaven. There's a road that leads to Dallas. There's a road that leads to Chicago. There's a road that leads to Miami. There is a road that leads to heaven, and three things are said about it. Number one, it has a straight gate. I never paid too much attention to that word straight until homosexuality took over. And homosexuals look at heterosexuals as straight. Boy, I'm so glad I'm straight today. Not only does it have a straight gate, but it has a narrow way. And thirdly, few people travel this road. Second great truth he mentions, there's a road that leads to hell. You say, well, I don't believe in it. You will when you get there. I know that there are many today, down through the years, agnostics and infidels, who have said there's no such thing as heaven and there's no such thing as hell. And even today we have men who stand in the pulpit, they call themselves annihilationists. And they do not believe that hell is a place where people are eternally punished. That God loves people so much He would never do a thing like that. But there's a road that leads to heaven, and God's people say, amen. There's a road that leads to hell. And it too has three things said about it. Number one, it has a wide gate. You just can't miss it. It's so wide and noticeable. It has a broad way, and it is heavily traveled. Bumper to bumper, if you please. Our text not only confirms that the wicked shall be turned into hell, but it will involve those from all over the world, all nations that forget God. That's not localized. It's going to involve people from all over the world shall be turned into hells. The Bible teaches us who some of these people will be. Now, that's not my opinion. That's God's Word. And today I want to speak on this subject. Look who's going to hell. Look who's going to hell. First of all, I would like to remind you that man was created an immortal soul. An immortal soul. This is borne out in many places, but especially in Genesis chapter 2, verse 7. It talks about God creating man from the dust of the earth. He formed him. He gave him a body. He gave him feet to walk with, hands to work with, ears to hear with, eyes to see with. But he couldn't see anything because he was without life. But God breathed into his nostrils, and it was only then that man became a living soul. He was not a living soul because he had a body. He was a living soul because now God had imparted life to that body. You see, a human being is not a body with a soul, but rather a soul with a body. Unlike the animal world, that is, without a soul, man was created to live forever. And when that body dies, the soul lives on. That's what your Scripture says. That's what your Bible says. Now, God has only two destinations for human beings when they die. And death is a very common experience. I feel safe in saying that every one of us have been touched by, in one way or another, by someone whom we loved dearly is no longer here. They've died. And we attended their funeral. It is appointed unto man once to die. Death is a common experience. And when a person dies, my dear friends, the body goes to the grave, but the soul returns unto God who gave it, according to the Scripture. And God has only two destinations for humans when they die. If you would look at Luke chapter number 16, the Gospel of Luke chapter number 16, verses 19 through 26. The Scripture said there was a certain rich man. There are those who try to water this down and say, well, this is one of the parables of Christ. No, this isn't a parable. You do not find proper names in the parables of Jesus Christ. This is an event that actually took place, and Christ is relating it. And he said there was a certain rich man which was clothed in purple and fine linen and fared sumptuously every day. And there was a certain beggar named Lazarus, which was laid at his gate full of sores, and desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. Christ continues this story. And it came to pass that the beggar died. Beggars do die. Yes, sir. Beggars die. And was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. But you see, the rich man also died. It doesn't make any difference whether you're rich or poor. You're going to die. I'm going to die. Death is a common lot of all of us because of Adam's sin in the Garden of Eden. He also died and was buried. And in hell, he lift up his eyes, being in torments, and seeth Abraham afar off, and Lazarus in his bosom. He cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. But Abraham said, Son, remember that thou in thy lifetime, while you lived on earth, you received good things. And likewise, Lazarus had a hard time of it. But now, he, Lazarus, is comforted and you are tormented. Their souls went to two different places. The soul of the rich man went one place. The soul of Lazarus went to the other place. And beside all this, between us and you, there's a great gulf fixed, so that they which would pass from hence to you cannot, neither can they pass to us that would come from thence. God has only two destinations for humans when they die. Now, if you are a believer, and I do not use or say that term lightly, I mean if you have been saved by the grace of God and have embraced Christianity and have invited the Lord Jesus Christ to be your Savior and your Lord and you're living for Him. If you're a Christian, when you die, you go to heaven. Well, is that all right? Is that too bad for you? You agree with that? The word's amen. If you're a Christian, when you die, you go to heaven. 2 Corinthians 5, 1 and 8. Paul says, we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, and he's talking about human life, life in this human body, he says, we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, using the present tense, we have a building of God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. Not a temporary abode. It's an eternal place up in heaven. And we're confident, I say, that willing absent to be from the body, willing to be absent from the body, and to be present with the Lord. My dear friends, when an individual dies, his soul leaves the body. And when that soul leaves the body is dead and needs to be buried. But the soul is with the Lord. I believe that with all of my heart. Death is real, my dear friends. And there's no way in this world that we can predict how long we're going to live and where we're going to go and what we're going to do. Every one of us faced this certain thing called death. And one day God will take me, and one day God will take you. But I'm convinced of this, as surely as my name is Dan Cozart, that if God saw fit to take me while preaching the gospel in the pulpit, my body would no sooner hit this platform than my soul would be in the hands of the Lord Jesus Christ. I believe it with all of my heart. Christians, when they die, go to be with the Lord. Revelation 14:13 says, blessed are the dead which die in the Lord. From henceforth, yea, saith the Spirit, that they may rest from their labors, and their works do follow them. Now, with the same dogmatism, I want to say that unbelievers go to hell. Unbelievers. Those who have never come to trust Christ as Savior, they're unbelievers. They go to hell. Believers go to heaven. Unbelievers go to hell. Revelation 14, verse number 10. The same shall drink of the wine of the wrath of God, which is poured out without mixture into the cup of his indignation. And he shall be tormented with fire and brimstone in the presence of the holy angels and in the presence of the Lamb. That's some of the most sober language in the Bible, my dear friends. That there will be torment in hell. And there will be fire in hell. And there'll be absence from the precious Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, in hell. We'll be separated from Him forever and ever and ever. People go to hell. People are going to hell while I'm preaching. And people will continue to go to hell until time is no more. Unbelievers go to hell, but believers go to heaven. Every father, every mother, every husband, every wife, every friend, every neighbor, every young person, white or black, rich or poor, moral or immoral, will go to this place if they do not come to Christ. Wake up! We're enjoying life too much. A world is going to hell. And all nations that forget God are described as the wicked being turned into hell. They say, well, I don't know whether we ought to get that strong on Sunday morning or not. My dear friends, the time is due when God's preachers need to preach the whole counsel of God. And God's people need to be reminded of the whole counsel of God. Said it's going to preach on who's going to hell. Look who's going to hell. The Bible says that the wicked shall be turned into hell, and all nations, that word nations in the Greek is ethnos, and it refers to all the Gentile nations in the world. The same equivalent of it is in the Hebrew. But it means the wicked out of every nation in the world. Every nation has unsaved people in it. And all of these unsaved people out of every nation will be turned into hell. Now, naming some of these people. Who's going to hell? This is where I want to work you a little bit. If you turn to Romans 1, 28 through 32, and we'll move a little slower because I want you to read this for yourself. I don't want you to think I'm up here talking about people I don't necessarily like and I'm telling them where to go. I want you to know that God is the author of judgment and God is the only one qualified for judgment. And He makes it clear who's going to hell. In Romans chapter number 1, verses 28 through 32. Romans 1, 28 through 32. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind. Now that word a reprobate mind means a mind that is void of judgment. You don't scare these people with hell fire preaching. You just don't do it. They got over that a long time ago. Nothing frightens them anymore. They're not scared of anybody, anything, until 5 seconds before they die. And then they get to thinking seriously. Being filled, here they are. Who's going to hell, Brother Kozar? All unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection, implacable, unmerciful, who knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. Now, look, if you would, at Galatians. I'm giving you about 5 references here, and I'm going to come back in a few minutes and point out some of these. We don't have the time to go into definition of all of them. But in the book of Galatians, chapter 5, verses 19 through 21. The book of Galatians, chapter 5, verses 19 through 21. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like, of the which I tell you before, as I have also told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. How much more plain could it be than 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 1 through 5? 2 Timothy chapter 3, look who's going to hell. 2 Timothy 3, 1 through 5. This know also that in the last days perilous times shall come. Men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures, more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. From such, turn away. Stay away from these people. stay away from these people. The other one is found in the book of Revelation. Revelation chapter number 21, verse number 8. Revelation chapter 21, verse number 8. Revelation 21, verse number 8. But the fearful and unbelieving and the abominable and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. And over a page to chapter 22 of Revelation, verses 14 and 15. Blessed are they that do His commandments, that they may have right to the tree of life and may enter in through the gates into the city. For without, that is on the outside of the New Jerusalem, are dogs, sorcerers, whoremongers, murderers, idolaters, and whosoever loveth and maketh a lie. Wow. The wicked shall be turned into hell, and all nations that forget God. Now, so much for naming some of these people in their category. Let's define who these people are. Let's define some of them. The key that we need to keep in mind in this message, when we come to this point in the message, is in Romans 1:29. We've already read it, but I want to give it to you again. In Romans 1:29, being filled. When I read it a moment ago, did you pick up on that? Being filled. Not just having a little bit. Not just having a fragment of or a piece of, but being filled, being full, not any room for anything else. Being full with all wickedness and so forth and so on. Now you listen carefully to me. There's a difference in falling into sin and living in sin. There is a difference between falling into sin and living in sin. You need not turn to it, but in Romans 6, 1 through 2, Paul makes it very clear that those of us who've been saved by grace, we're not to continue in sin that grace may abound. We're not to continue in it. Keep on and on and on. How shall you, Paul says to the Romans, who are dead to sin, continue any longer therein? In other words, when a man is saved by the grace of God, his lifestyle is saved by the grace of God. And his direction of life has been changed by the grace of God. It does not mean he's not going to sin occasionally. It does not mean he's going to not make some mistakes along the road of life. But that's not the main course of his life. He's sorry for those things. And if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. But you see, there's a difference in falling in it and living in it day by day by day. It is sin is the main business of the sinner's life. He just likes to sin. And he runs out of the sins that he knows about and starts manufacturing some new ones. That's where we are today. Perversion, the like of which we've never heard before. Because the old-time sins just don't have the punch they used to. Let's do something different. Let's invent evil things. That's who he's talking about in these references. And when you look at the Romans reference, you come up with some pretty astounding things. First of all, fornication. Fornication. What is fornication, Pastor? Fornication is living together outside of marriage. Let's forget all about marriage. Just to start living together. And if I don't like you after a while, and that usually after a while is about a week, and you don't like me after a while, and usually that's about after 5 minutes, we'll just get somebody else to live with. That's fornication. What did you say, preacher? Said that's fornication. You say, well, everybody's doing it. Then everybody's a fornicator. Who's going to hell? Fornicators. Come on. Murder. Abortionist. 50 million unborn babies put to death by abortionist. Murders. Planned Parenthood ought to change their name to the butchering business. They sell meat. The hands and the feet and the hearts of little babies unborn will go to hell. Murder. Haters of God. The infidels. The agnostics. Those who say there is no God, and even if there were, I wouldn't have any time for it. They go to hell. Look who's going to hell. We got some politicians today fit right here. Look who's going to hell. Disobedient to parents. Oh my, don't get me onto that one. Juvenile rebellion. I don't care what mama says. I don't care what daddy says. I'm going to do my own thing. And we're being ruined and wrecked today by many juveniles who have absolutely no respect for their parents whatsoever. Wrecking a generation and wrecking a world, going to hell. Look who's going to hell. The Galatian reference, let me mention about four of those quickly. He goes with the word adultery. Well, now what's the difference in the two? Well, adultery is the betrayal of the marriage vow. That means that a husband and a wife have been joined in holy matrimony, and their husband and wife, according to Scripture, my dear friends, but it is a betrayal of the marriage vow. Husband and wife stealers. I want your wife. I want your husband. And on it goes. Well, there's nothing wrong with it. We call it an affair. God calls it adultery. Idolatry. What is idolatry? It's religion without Christ. If it doesn't have Jesus Christ, it's idolatry. Men make their own gods. The whole Muslim faith is one big idolatrous mess. And it's built on a lie. And on we could go there. Drunkenness. We must be careful. Drunkenness. Alcohol and drugs which poison the mind. I tell you, people are really, they're goozling down the marijuana now and smoking marijuana. I mean, more than water. Because it's legalized. Who you suppose legalized it? A bunch of idiots. Oh, haven't you heard, Brother Kozar? It's good for medicinal purposes. Drunkenness. Witchcraft. What is witchcraft? There's not going to be any witches in heaven. Ready to go? Witches. The Timothy reference. He said they'll be lovers of themselves. Narcissists. That think they created the world and everybody ought to bow down and call them holy. They just, they're as good as God and getting better every day. So stuck on themselves. They think they're so important, so boastful and proud and braggadocious. Who's going to hell? The unthankful, the prayerless complainers, that all we do is complain and complain and complain. I know all of us have a little bit of that in us, and we do quite a bit of it, more than we should, my dear friend. But I'm talking about there are just some people, don't ever walk up to them and say, how are you doing today? Because for the next 2 weeks, they'll be telling you how they're doing today. Nothing's ever right. Without natural affection, there's your sodomite. There's your same-sex marriage. It is a perverted affection. It's without nature's approval. And especially, it's certainly without God's approval. A form of godliness, which is an empty profession. They have a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. The Revelation reference. The fearful. I went to see if Mr. Gill could give me a little help on that one. Because we think about sometimes being fearful of people breaking into your home or doing bodily hurt or harm to you. And certainly we are all afraid of things like that. But no, this has to do with compromisers. People who are so afraid they're not going to be liked and their cause is not going to be promoted, they sell out cheaply. I'm getting to the place, my dear friends, and I imagine you are too. What does a politician believe? Nothing. Nothing. One time he stands up and says, I'm against sodomy and I'm against this. Next time, I think everybody ought to be a sodomite. And everybody says, oh, that is so wonderful. And got somebody run for president and said, oh, my emails and all of this, that and the other. I wiped the surface clean, all that junk, my dear. Guilty as a dog sucking eggs. Who's going to hell? The wicked shall be turned into hell in all nations that forget God without natural affection. Also, it says a form of godliness. And then the Revelation reference, the fearful, the unbelieving. Isn't that something? Unbelieving doesn't necessarily mean a moral disgrace, my dear friends. It means that a person will not come to Christ. He will not believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. He's an unbeliever. Mark says, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. That's what Mark says. If you do not believe the gospel, you shall be damned. Unbelievers. And watch this one. All liars. I don't know, maybe put that in there because some of us are feeling pretty comfortable for a while. All liars. All of them. And sorcerers. I had to pull that one out too. Sorcerers go to hell. The word sorcery there comes from the Greek word pharmakos. Pharmakos. Which we get our word pharmacy. The place where you find the most deadly drugs is the drugstore. And the guy behind the counter, you just hope he puts the right ingredient with this ingredient or you are dead. And to verify the truth of what I'm saying, why is it when you get a prescription filled, they give you a line of things called, these are the things that could happen to you. Have you ever read that before? I don't usually take the pill once I read that. You're going to have gizzard trouble. You're going to have paralysis. It's going to start from your head and you're going to die with leprosy. But it probably has healed one or two people now. Go ahead. Where do they get all that? They sell it. They know how to mix it. But pharmacy, sorcery, a person who is talented in taking potions and making it do what people want it to do. in a negative concept and in a negative way. I've spoken this morning on look who's going to hell. Now let me conclude this message by telling you look who's not going to hell. Look who's not going to hell. Boy, I'm sure glad I can end on a pleasant note. Kind of makes me want to go take another bath. 1 Corinthians 6, 9 through 11. Would you turn, please? That's the last reference. 1 Corinthians 6, 9 through 11. 1 Corinthians 6, 9 through 11. Here we go. Know you not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived. Don't be fooled. Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers. Watch this one. Nor effeminate. Effeminate. The la-do-do-do crowd. Have you ever noticed that some people don't know how to wave? Huh? They don't like what they are, so they want to change over and be something else. Let me say this to you. You'll never be anything but what you are by the grace of God. That's all. That's the change. The effeminate. The abusers of themselves with mankind. Nor thieves. Now, I'm not for, I won't go there. Verse 10. Nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. You say, preacher, that's what you've been saying for the last hour. But such were some of you. Such were some of you. But something happened to you. Three things. You've been washed by the blood of the Lamb. You have been sanctified by the Holy Spirit of God. And you have been justified and declared perfect as God by what Christ did on the cross for you. And you know what? You don't have to go to hell. You're going to heaven. Look who's going to heaven. Somebody wrote the song, When the Saints Go Marching In. I do believe the saints are going to march in all right. And I believe as soon as we get inside, we're going to hit the deck. Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty. I don't know how many saints. I know all of them are going to be there. I don't know the number of the saints marching in. I know this. Few there be that find it. Now, dear one, if you think for one moment that I've taken personal delight in this message, I have not. This has been a wrestling experience for me. And it's helped me to realize that if I wake up at 2 o'clock in the morning for whatever the reason, or I'm driving down the road and I have to stop for a traffic accident or a traffic light, whatever, somebody's going to hell at that time. We better get back to the main thing. Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every living creature. That is our message of hope today. And I'm certainly not here to judge you, and you're certainly not here to judge me, but I am here to tell you this. If there's never been a time or a place where you realized you were a sinner, and as best you knew how, you look to Jesus Christ and ask Him to forgive you and to save you, you need to come to Christ today. You need to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and be saved. Let's stand, please, for prayer.